Senate, didn't we?
No.
Well, golly, we got two offers now.
Okay.
And they're rather complicated. It's a little different than anything we've received so far. And so we want to start with one, which is the first order. I mean, the first offer for $150. And that's due back today. We have to counter offer it or accept it today.
Uh-huh. What is it?
Okay.
Wait a sec. I get some paper to write on. Yeah.
$50,000 down.
Yeah.
Including a $1,000 deposit, which is already in the hands of the realtor. $100,000 first trust deed and note payable at approximately $1,074.65.
To who?
That would be to the loaning institution.
Okay, commercial lender.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That includes 10% interest per annum plus taxes and insurance for a term of 15 years.
Yeah.
All right, now the addendum. The addendum, where's the addendum? Oh, it's up there. Here's the addendum. Don't forget, this is for a gross of $150. We'd cash out in this one, in any event.
Yeah.
All right. The number one, subject property and buyer to qualify for aforementioned loan, obviously.
Uh-huh.
The second thing, buyer to have well checked at his expense and to accept well information in writing within 20 days of acceptance.
Uh-huh.
Three, buyer to accept preliminary report in writing within 20 days of acceptance.
Yeah.
Four, seller to provide buyer with personal property lists on laundromat, an 8,000-square-foot building, and to be delivered and approved in writing within 20 days. All these are standard procedures, it seems.
Yeah, go on.
Five, subject to sale of buyer's business opportunity located at... he has the Farmer's Produce down in the South State Street. You may remember that place.
Okay.
And that's subject to the sale of that facility an acceptable price handled through the same realtor. That's all
okay.
That whole thing is about. Now, those are the only contingencies.
What about the next offer?
All right. The next offer makes this whole matter a little more complicated.
Where's the...
Okay. Here's the next offer, which we got yesterday from Bud Bernard.
Uh-huh.
And Bernard is an opportunist, but the offer is a gross of $175.
Yeah.
With $1,000 down, obviously. Now... it says 90% cash to seller, 17.5 second deed of trust in favor of seller at 8.5% interest. Now that's unacceptable, right there.
Okay, let's hear the whole thing. Then we can go back on the details.
All right, I just get excited.
The unacceptable. Go on.
Yeah. with monthly payments of $350 or more, the first payment to start start. 6 months after close of escrow. Now, he's got some goddamn nerve.
I understand that. Go on.
All right. All appliances to be in working condition at close of escrow.
Yeah.
And that won't be the case, by the way. There's going to be at least one appliance not functioning. Personal property presently on property to be included in sale. All laundry equipment included in sale.
Yeah.
This offer is made... conditional upon buyer obtaining satisfactory financing within 40 days. One of the buyers may be a real estate agent. We think it's Bud Bernard himself.
What does satisfactory financing mean?
To finance the difference. He already is anticipating a 17.5 second, and the down payment. What the hell's the down on this? $40,000 down.
Uh-huh.
Now that's the whole thing.
Okay.
He's asking.
Okay, I'll tell you what we ought to do.
Okay.
We ought to return to both of them a counter offer that says $200,000 down, $200,000 cash as is.
Turn a counter offer to both of them, saying $200,000.
That's my guess. I think we ought to simply return a counter offer to both of them, saying $200,000 cash as is.
Now, Gene, let me remind you of something. When I first talked to you about Baston's offer, you said something about how we would look at the $150 cashing out favorably if...
Well, but it's not net, and there's a ton of contingencies in it.
Well, that... The first one? I thought that was net.
No, it's not net. You got a real estate commission coming out.
Oh, yeah, you're right. You're right, you're right. The real estate commission.
And then see what they come back with. That's my guess. I'll tell you what I would take. I would take 175 out of Baskin. I would take 175. Incidentally, I talked to Mac this morning, discussed this with him about price, too.
Yeah.
So we have the benefit of his input. He agrees with that. We would both agree to take 175 cash, but the only way I would do that is put one of those little clauses in there, basically, that says that as long as there are any contingencies outstanding, we reserve the right to show it and sell it to somebody else. Like we wrote into that other thing?
Yeah. Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I understand the bumper thing.
Yeah. This thing that Bernard is talking about, you know, that's just pure speculation. I don't know what satisfactory financing is.
Yeah, there's some doubt on George's part. George Kuhneman of Pennington said that it's very vague. But Bud is assuming that he can get financing that may not, in fact, be available to him.
Well, I think Bud tends to be a scammer. I don't think he's got any. You know, this other guy may have been in business for years, and they may lend him $100,000 regardless because they know him and they've been doing business with him for years. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
That's one thing.
Yeah.
But we're talking about counteroffers now, right?
Yeah. Well, you say the counteroffer should be $200,000.
Well, what do you guys think? That's my.
Well,
that's
I think
my
we're going to accept $175,000, and I don't want to just be counteroffering. Well, you know, until we get to it, you know. I think $175,000 is probably what Baston should be told, and then maybe we could counter with the other guy for $200,000 because his financing is questionable anyway.
Well. The only trouble with that, say, is that you come back with 175 and the guy's going to say, fine, how about 160? And that's my problem with that. I don't mind all this other junk. I'll tell you, I do not like all this 20-day delay on this stuff and this Baskin offer. The price is too cheap. I mean, there's no reason why he can't pull a preliminary title search and approve it.
Uh-huh.
If he wants to get the well checked, he can check it. And he can do all of that in 5 days, as far as I'm concerned, 5 working days.
Yeah.
You know?
Uh-huh.
And I don't like all that stuff in there. I don't care about the personal property list and all that. But I think he's basically going to have to buy it at that price as is.
Mm-hmm.
You know. And I think that's going to definitely have to be a part of the deal.
I see.
And that if there's any contingency with respect to his selling, then we have reserved the right to sell it to somebody else. Pending, you know?
Yes. Well, yeah, of course. We'll automatically put that clause in there. But you're still saying with the 200 and then see.
Well,
what
you disagree with me? Let's discuss it. You know, I'm.
Well, I think Harold should have some input here. Hold on.
Yeah.
Yeah. Harold?
Yeah. I talked to Bud this morning when I picked up some mail.
Yeah.
And he said that he did check with Savings Bank after they talked to us at Pennington yesterday.
Yeah.
And Savings Bank said they would go 70% on that building, but he said their reticence to get involved in it right now is the fact that they have no tenants. There's no income there, and that's an income property.
Right.
So he's facing that difficulty. So he would have to come up with a minimum of $70,000 down
right.
to make his offer any good.
Which he can't do, I take it.
Right.
Huh?
And if we, right.
So there's no point fooling with him.
Right.
You know, he's saying he doesn't have an offer.
Yeah, he's got an offer that's just, an exercise in futility.
Right.
Because he can't meet the financing. He's hoping that we're going to come through and carry part of the financing.
I'm not anxious to do that.
I told him yesterday in Pennington's office that we want cash if we accepted anything around this price range. We want to cash out. We didn't want to carry paper.
My immediate response was to counter this first at 200. Richard doesn't think so. He thinks we ought to say 175. I'd be prepared to accept 175 cash,
mm-hmm.
right? Net.
Mm-hmm.
Net.
Well, the first guy was going to cash us out, you know, at 50, 100 on a. He knows he can get the 100,000. He's already talked to the bank.
Yeah, that's. Yeah, but see what's gonna. We're gonna end up with about 138 to 142 out of that. By the time we pay a commission and all that.
Yeah, we'll pay $9,000
on 150. Yeah. So by the time we finish our costs and what this kind of jazz and that kind of jazz,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
that's what it's gonna be. My guess is that I tell you something, this is awful cheap.
Well, sure it is. But you know, even some of the pushers down there at Pennington said their drawback with the speculators they have contacted is that this place is just not bringing in any revenue. There's no income there.
All there is a couple of people living in a couple of apartments. Huh?
Yeah, but that's pittance. You know,
I know. I'm not
disagreeing. Taxes.
I'm agreeing with you.
So
I know it is.
You know, the strength in this Bastien offer is that he's going to be a user.
I understand
not just that. But that would help offset the problem in his respect. Whereas these others, Bernard, all he's offering is that he's going to occupy one of the offices as a real estate office eventually. But, you know.
Well, the only thing I can say, do you agree with Richard, that we ought to counter at 175, or what do you think we ought to do?
Yeah, I would think so. If we ultimately will take that, I think we ought to just say,
that's what we're going to do.
175, and this is firm.
You know, okay.
No negotiating this price. This is 175. This is the bottom.
Okay. Well, if you both agree, then I'll yield to that. But what I think we ought to do, if it's 175, we ought to say he's taking it as is. He can approve the preliminary title search. He can approve the well and all that. We'll give him like 7 working days or 5 working days. I'll give him 10 working days to do it.
10 working days?
Yeah, to approve a prelim and to approve the title search. And if he wants a condition in there that this is subject to his ability to sell his deal, you know, we want the condition in there that as long as there are any contingencies open in the sale, that we have the right to sell it to somebody else.
Well, as long as the contingencies are on the sale.
Yeah, it's the same thing we did on the ranch, you know.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
See?
Do we put a, you mean we put an actual release clause in it?
Sure.
Okay. And how many days will we act?
Richard has the counter offer that we made on the ranch up there.
Yeah, right.
And that's what we did. We said, say, as long as there's any contingencies open, we get an offer we like better. You got 5 days to remove the contingencies, or we can sell it to somebody else.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Right.
And you have to explain that he's not going to hang us up for 90 days. You know, not going to tie us up and be free himself. It doesn't look that way.
Sure, I understand that.
Yeah, and so he's got to understand that, too.
Okay.
But as far as Bernard is concerned, you know, I don't see any point in even responding to it.
Mm-hmm.
I appreciate what you're saying about Bastien. He's a user, and because he's a user, he's much more likely to get a bank loan.
Yeah, now listen, there was one other thing that George Kinneman mentioned to me yesterday in his office, so I wanted you to stick around.
One more thing, incidentally, before we stop on this Bastien deal.
Mm-hmm.
I want 120 days use of the garage, and I want 120 days use of the store part of it that's currently being used for furniture sales.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
And we'll pay them $100 a month rent for each. 6 months. I want the ability to, let's say 6 months.
6 months to 120 days?
Yeah, you understand what I'm saying?
Yes. 180 days on...
180 days on the garage and 180 days on that one, because we just cannot conduct, maybe have to turn that... We may not be in a position in 60 days to close those two things out.
Mm-hmm.
I don't want to put us in a position of forcing us to move out of there. Mm-hmm. Of course, if we did, I suppose we could conduct a furniture sale out of the church, couldn't we?
Well, I suppose we could. It may not be as...
It'd be better in some ways.
Huh?
It'd be better in some ways.
In some ways it would, yeah. But it's not quite as convenient, but there's a lot of room down there.
Yeah.
No problem with putting stuff
in. If they holler about that, we can give them back that to keep the garage. Don't tell them take that long for us to get our way work out of the garage, judging from what I think is happening to our manpower around here.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, those are the ideas I have on that subject.
Okay.
Is Richard there? He could hear what's transpiring?
No, but we're recording it so we can play it back.
Oh, okay.
Okay. Anything else, Richard? Okay, I think we got the details down, so we'll go ahead and prepare this counter.
Okay, and as far as Bernard's concerned, I don't see any point responding to him. I'll tell you what, you may as well respond to him $200,000 cash as is, period. Give him a counter offer $200,000 cash as is, and he'll shrug his shoulders and walk away.
Can we counter higher with him than we do on another offer?
Sure.
No problem with that?
Yeah. Maybe we don't think his buyer's credit's as good. Or we don't think the probability, you know what I'm saying. Sure we can. Okay, let me know if you need anything, huh?
Sure thing.
Okay, take care. Oh, incidentally, on either of the counter offers, any offers that you make on that, make sure that we've got some time in there to keep that garage and use it. Because
yeah.
We may not be in a position to pull out of there in 60 days. I don't know.
Yeah.
Unless you're convinced we do and you don't think you see a problem.
Well, I don't know. I discussed it with Irvin a couple of times, a couple of months ago, in fact.
What do you think?
And he said that, you know, if we did the light work like was suggested, just do PM work, that he could handle that. He could even handle it in a, you know, down there someplace. He even suggested possibly we might rent on a temporary basis an old service station or something just to do PM work.
Where is he going to do that?
Well, in the city.
He's kidding himself. I know service stations to rent a temporary basis down here.
Well, whatever.
He's going to be working on the lot in the back of the church.
Yeah.
Well, it's unrealistic. There's no anything like that here to do with, okay? Anyway, hey, listen, I've talked these two items over with the realtor because if Bastini wants it, he may want to use those areas specifically, and that's why he's buying it, and this may be a boondoggle, okay?
Now, I don't think he does. We went over this quickly, and he suggested he wanted to find some users for it, but he had nobody in mind.
Okay.
He had somebody who came up and looked at it, but the guy said it was some other guy did. And he said it was too far away from the city.
Yeah. Okay, let me know if I can do anything else then.
Okay, what'd you say, Richard? Okay. Well, we'll see you later then.
Okay, bye-bye.
Bye.
Debbie.
Oh, hi.
Where are you? We've been looking all over.
Oh, I haven't gone anywhere.
Oh, we mailed a letter to you, and it came back.
Oh, because my box closed, and I got an address now.
Oh,
that's
you do?
Why. Uh-huh. I was going to write you a letter right away and tell you, but, you know.
Well, we were so worried about you.
Oh. Well, there's nothing to be worried about. I don't see why, you know, you had to get the police looking for me.
Well, we didn't know, there was all the stuff in the paper that, you know, a lot of...
Oh, Mom, don't believe that stuff. It's not the truth. It's just people that, you know, used to be in the church. They're really troublemakers. They're trying to harass us. Everything they say in the papers is not true. They're just trying to give us a lot of trouble. It's not the truth at all, honestly. I mean, I'm not being held here on my, you know, I can come and go when I want to. I'm not brainwashed. I have freedom, you know. I mean, you shouldn't believe that.
Well,
stuff
anyway, we got really worried. We read all that stuff, you know. And we
I know. Well, I could see, you know. But
and then I called, you know, the number that you had given me, I don't know, just last year, and, you know, they didn't know anybody by your name. And then we sent a letter, and it came back, and it said address unknown, move.
Mm-hmm.
So then we really got worried.
Yeah.
You know? Then we got, you know, we didn't know what had happened to you.
Yeah. Well, see, yeah, because the police call here, and they asked for the address, you know, and I gave them the address where I'm living now. And then later on, a detective called, and he gave me your number, you know. I lost your telephone number. I couldn't find it, you know. And he gave me the number, you know, and I called right away. So, I mean, you know, and then, did you have the idea that I was coming to see you the 12th of August?
Yeah, well, we didn't know exactly what day, you know, but I thought you were coming soon.
Oh, well, I said, I thought I made it clear that I was coming, you know, down for a visit right before school started, which is in September.
Oh, okay, well, we didn't know about that, but I had thought it was going to be sooner. And then, you know, all of a sudden, when we got the letter back, we really got worried because, you know, it said moved address unknown, you know, and it just...
Yeah. Well, anyway, I'm living somewhere else, and, you know, that's where it happened, you know, because I'm not using a post office box anymore.
Oh, what, have you got an address?
Yeah. Did they give you the address and phone number?
No, nothing. I mean, you know, we haven't heard...
Oh, they haven't called you back?
No, they haven't called us back. We just called them a little while ago to see if they heard anything, and they said no.
They hadn't?
No.
They hadn't heard anything?
That's what they said.
I talked to a sheriff this afternoon, and then later on, before dinner, there was a detective that called down San Francisco, and then he called up here. And
oh, okay. Well, they didn't call and tell us any... Don just talked to your clients to see if, you know, if they had heard anything, and they said no.
Uh-huh. Oh, well, I don't know. They should have called you right away as soon as they got a hold of me, because they asked for the address here, and I gave them the address.
We were so worried, because I thought maybe you had, you know, well, we read all this stuff in the paper, and we thought maybe you were in South America or something.
No, I'm not. I'm still here. That's only a few people, you know. We have an agricultural mission over there, and people are going over there. Of course, they're going back and forth all the time, you know. But we have a mission over there, and, you know, some people...
Well, you're not going to go there, are you?
No, I'm still here.
Well,
I got a job, and I got to stay with the job.
Well, okay, I hope you're not going to go. I don't want you to go.
I know. Well, Mom, don't believe the things in the paper, you know, like, I mean, you know, there's a bunch of baloney. Those people, they're trying to cause trouble for us, and we haven't done anything to them. They're just troublemakers.
Well, yeah, I know, but it's just, all we know is what we read, and then when we can't get hold of you, then we get really worried,
Okay, well, I'm confirming it.
Give me your address where you are now, then.
Yeah, well, don't believe what you read in the papers, because, you know, I'm still here, and, you know.
Okay, well, what's the address so I can write to you if I want to?
Okay, the address is, 2451 Road K.
2451 what?
Road K, like road in the capital K.
R-O-A-D, like road?
Like, you know, R-O-A-D and the capital K, Redwood Valley.
And it's the same zip, right?
Same zip. And...
Because we called my father, your grandfather, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's really concerned because we said, you know, you might write to him. Did you lose the address I gave you?
See, the thing is, I didn't get the letter. I went to the post office box and and I didn't find a letter, you know. So, I don't know, I thought maybe he never mailed it. But, let me get, do you have his address right now?
Yeah, so, you know, why don't you write to him, because he's really worried, you know.
Okay, what is his address?
Okay, it's 2220.
2220.
And it's Bramer, B as in Barbara.
B.
R-A.
E.
M. M is in Mary.
M,
A-R. And it's road.
It's a road?
Right. And that's Oakland.
In Oakland?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know the zip?
Where's the book on my dad's address? Where is that? What book? Wait, Don's going to get it for you. Okay, well, do you have a phone number there so I can, you know...
Yeah.
Okay, what is it?
Hold on.
Okay.
It's
485-8406.
There's a telephone number here.
Okay.
485-8406. Right.
Is Ron there with you, too?
Yeah, but he's working.
Oh, yeah. Well, yeah. How is he?
He's doing fine. He's busy. And he works through the summer, you know.
Yeah, I know he does.
Like, he doesn't have any...
Now, what job did you say you had?
I'm working at a hotel as a maid. But that's only temporarily till I go back to work for the school when school starts.
Oh, I see. So you are going to go back to work for the school.
Yeah,
So, okay, well, Don wants to talk to you for a minute, too. but are you going to come? Oh, we hope you're going to come down and see us. We'll miss you.
Yeah.
Colleen does too. She was all worried and, you know, couldn't find you. And, you know, what's my sister doing?
Yeah, but again, I want to say, don't believe what you read in the newspaper. Cause
yeah. Well, I know, honey.
It's ridiculous.
We aren't up there, and, you know, we love
you. No, I understand that, you know, but, I mean, you know, they're just, you know, they're just trying to cause trouble. And so they're, you know, they're just hassling us, and it's, what they say is not the truth.
Well, I hope not. Well, listen, Don wants to talk to you, but you keep in touch with me, and you don't have to, you know, you don't have to let us know ahead of time when you're going to come. Just call and say you're on your way.
Okay.
Okay, because we're always here, and, you know, I work every day, of course, but I have Mondays and Tuesdays off, but that doesn't make any sense.
Well, you got Monday and Tuesdays off?
Yeah, I got Mondays and Tuesdays.
Is that a regular schedule?
That's a regular schedule. Yeah, right.
You don't have weekends off at all?
No, but I'm home in between. I've got a split shift.
What's your working hours?
Well, let's see. Okay, Saturdays I go to work at 12 noon and I get off about 4 and I go back at 7 and get off about 11. And then Sunday I don't usually go to work until 5 in the afternoon. And I work for about 6 hours and come home. And Friday night I work like 12 to 2 in the afternoon and I don't have to go to back to work tonight until 6:45.
Oh, I see. So you work like in the afternoons and then in the evenings.
3 or 4 hours in the afternoon.
Oh, you get a break for dinner and then you go back to work.
Yeah, I've got about 3 or 4 hours in between, right.
Okay.
Like from 3 to 6 or, you know, kind of in there.
Okay, so Mondays and Tuesdays are your regular days off?
That's my regular days off, right.
Okay. Yeah, I was wondering, you know, because if I do come down, I want to hit a day at your home.
Well, I know, but I'd still be home in between to be with you. You know, if you could come down Monday and Tuesday, it would be better.
Yeah,
I mean, because I could spend more time. Right.
Yeah, right.
So, well, listen, keep in touch. Donald's talking to you, but, you know, just keep in touch now.
I will.
Well, we worry about you. We love you, you know.
Yeah, I understand.
I know, honey. Okay, well, here's Don.
Okay.
Oh, boy, am I glad you called.
Sure, yeah.
I was worried.
Oh.
Have you read any of this, what's going out in the paper?
Yeah, I read it all. It's a bunch of lies.
Well, I don't know. Debbie, I called the reporter that writes for both the Examiner.
What's his name?
And the Chronicle. I wrote both. In fact, they've been calling me all day today.
They've been calling you?
Yeah, because apparently everybody parents and everything that were involved with it, it said that, you know, when they closed down both churches, one in Ukiah and the one here, and I just called the guy to find out what the heck was going on, you know, whether it's just some kind of news story they were putting out, and they've got the documents and all the ex-members and everything, and they had me call an FBI agent. They've got charges piled up against Reverend Jones right now that if he ever comes back to this country, they're going to...
I know, Don, but it's a bunch of lies. They're trying to they weren't trying to cause trouble toward us. It's just a bunch of troublemakers out there.
Well, you know, we've gone along, and I believed everything you told us, and even when I read this stuff, about how much money is taken out and the way it's going, some of this, we were worried. We thought you were gone to South America, and that's why we tried to find you.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're over 21. We couldn't stop if you wanted to go anyway.
Mm-hmm.
But we really care, and all I wanted to do was get a hold of you, because if you were going... Before you went to try to talk to you, you've got a home here, Debbie. You know, anytime you want it.
No, I know, but I'm quite happy in what I'm doing. I understand that, you know. But I'm quite happy in what I'm doing.
Well, with the church closed down, what are you going to do now? You're not...
It's not closed down, Don. It's still going on. Those are a bunch of lies.
Well,
everything's normal. There's
the sheriff's department right up there in Ukiah told me that they shut down the church up there, and I know they moved out of
San Francisco. Because we moved our headquarters to SF. That's our center now. That's where
well,
we carry on.
So it was on the news, on the television news, they were moving everything out of there.
Out of what, SF?
Yes, out of San Francisco.
That's because that stuff's going to the mission. That's nothing to do with clothes.
Truckloads and stuff going on. They're
just exaggerating everything. That's stuff going to mission, because we have a mission. Every church has a mission, you know. And that stuff's going out to the mission, because that we have work, you know, a project going there.
Well, I can't. So all I know is what I read, you know, what I saw on television, and we were scared.
Yeah.
And because we care about you. But will you promise me one thing? If you decide to do anything, you know, to go or whatever, would you talk to us first? Now I can finally. We've been up two nights on this trying to find out how to reach you. I've done everything in the world just to try to get a hold of you.
Mm-hmm.
We can't stop you from, you know, doing it. If you think that's right and that's your way of life, then there's no way we can stop you. But
mm-hmm.
please, before you ever decide to do, you know, make a big decision, please talk to us first.
Mm-hmm.
That's the main thing.
Well, I tell you this, I'm not being held here against my own will. I'm free to go and come as I wish, you know. I have my own mind. I ain't being brainwashed, like whatever they say. They probably say all that too, but it's a bunch of lies. Don't believe any of those articles because they're a bunch of lies.
Well, it's hard for me to decide.
I know, but it is, Steve.
They put me into some of the people that were ex-members of your group.
Who did you talk to?
There's a whole group of them over there, parents and concerned things in San Francisco. I guess they're really trying to fight the group.
Talk to any of them?
Yeah, I talked to two of them.
Who did you talk to?
His name was Joan. None of them knew you. But they had left voluntarily, and they're trying to help. This is the
listen, it's important. Who did you talk to specifically?
One girl named Joan. I don't know what her last name was, but she was a member since he first came to California, I guess for 2 or 3 years, she got out. She had something to do with the bank account. I don't know what that was. Her name is Joan. That's all I know.
Uh-huh. And do you know who the other person was?
Mrs. Stearns, but I don't know who she was.
Mrs. Stearns?
I think she was a parent.
A parent?
A parent of one of them, and they've got quite an organization, and